Now, at the end of last year, we interviewed Clontarf local. He's Nick O'Brien. He spoke about the intended 12,000-kilometre fundraising cycle, along with his buddy, Lorcan Byrne, through 10 countries in Africa. We had an update from both of them when they landed in Cairo last week. And now, here's an update of their first 7 days.
So this is the second in their series at Near FM. Delighted to be tying in with every week about what's happened that week, highs and lows. We're two lads from Dublin who have essentially taken on a very, very big challenge, which is cycling from Cairo to Cape Town. We are 7 days in and we are currently coming to you live from Luxor. Great thing was we walked into the hostel just this evening. We were so chuffed with our 7 days of cycling and hard cycling. We just broke down and started laughing because we have done 7 hard days of cycling, the longest I've ever done cycling. And we have made...
We're about 5.5% of the total way there.
We are flying through it, but there's a long way to go. So, we've got two bikes, we have tents, we rough camp, and we stay in hostels when we have to. And we're trying to just make the most of our adventure right down through Africa. Now, this is the interesting part. It has been both cycling and by bus, but not the way we wanted to do it. So, we wanted to cycle the whole thing, but unfortunately, the police in Cairo are quite strict on where tourists go. So Egypt has their tourism industry has been depleted since 2011. The police very much are trying to control and make sure nothing happens to any of the tourists. Lorcan, do you want to just quickly give a synopsis of what's happened?
Yeah, so I think dealing with the frustrations of the police stopping us and making us get buses for about 400 kilometres of the 700 kilometres that we've done so far has been really tough. But we've met a number of incredibly nice people along the way. So there was a guy called Hazim, who we gave a nice Dublin nickname of Hazard to, a young doctor that we met in Kina. And he also, despite being in a cycling club, he took the time out of his day to help us arrange our bikes and cycle us out of the city and dodge any police checkpoints and get us safely out of town. And he also gave us a lovely bit of Egyptian singing, which we're going to play for you now. So please enjoy a little bit of a cultural exchange.
Okay, now I'm going to speak for my lovely friend, new friend, Naik and Lurko. My name is Hazim Aladdin. My nickname is Hazim Osler.
In Dublin, your nickname would be Hazard.
Okay, my name is Hazard. I will try to, I'm 25 years old, I will now try to sing a little bit of song, my Arabic chord for my friend. So I will start with this song, okay?
أبكي على شام الهوى بعيون مظلوم مناضل وأذوب في ساحاتها بين المساجد والمآذن.
Thank you. The ins and outs of the trip so far is what we've planned next. So the week coming is essentially we make a for a few days we get down as far as Aswan in South Egypt, then we try to cross over the border into Sudan, and then we're into some serious desert. Really looking forward to it. There's going to be days where we'll have to pack 2-3 maybe up to 4 days of water and food as we make our way south through Sudan. We've had absolutely wonderful reports, but that's all ahead of us. Lorcan, what are you most excited for next?
For me, the highlight of the trip so far has just been getting on the road. So there's so much preparation work that went into even just getting ready to get on the flight to Cairo. And then when we got to Cairo, there was 2 days of sorting out a huge number of things to get our bikes ready and then getting to the edge of Cairo to then begin cycling. A lot led up to that, and the peak has definitely just been out on the road, seeing deserts for miles around, seeing the Red Sea on the other side, and just being on the bike and finally having the feeling that here we are, we're actually doing it, and that sense of freedom that comes with that. So the police and the buses we've been forced to take have been a bit of an interruption to that, but we're about to enter 1,000 kilometres of desert through the Sahara to get to Khartoum, the capital in Sudan, and I definitely envisage that being free and open road. So while that might be a sense of apprehension about getting through 1,000 kilometres of desert in the Sahara, I'm also most excited about that sense of freedom and challenge that's going to come with that as well.
Deadly. What is the biggest learning curve that you've experienced to date in the last 7 days?
I think a lot of it, I'd said before we started the trip that being flexible was kind of like the mantra that we needed to have for the trip, because things will not turn out the way we intend them to be. And I think us being caught for 24 hours at a local town's police checkpoint was a prime example of that, and feeling really frustrated that here we are, we're, you know, just 3 days into the trip, we've been cycling, we're starting to do it, we've got 12,000 kilometres to go, and someone being like, sorry, wait there right now. And being stuck there for like 8 hours before we heard any news about it. And then being told eventually that you have to get the bus. Like, that was a very frustrating thing when you invest all this time in preparing to actually cycle it. So needing to learn that things are not the way you want them to be, but they will work themselves out. You know, the next day, then we're back on the bike again. And, you know, 10 kilometres into the day and being on the bike, you've forgotten about it. And it's all changed. So learning to genuinely put the idea of being flexible into practice has been a massive thing.
When we got stopped at that police checkpoint, what was the silver lining? What did you take away?
Yeah, definitely. So there was a really, really nice policeman there who, aside from buying us water, giving us snacks, giving us food, taking us out for dinner that night, finding us a friend's hotel that we could stay in for free, aside from those perks, we got to have conversations with him for several hours and just got a real insight into a lot of things and aspects of Egyptian culture that we wouldn't have got to learn about otherwise. And being able to have an in-depth conversation with someone about those things is really kind of the essence of the trip in a lot of ways, that it's not a conversation that you could manufacture if you were on a tour bus going to see the Giza pyramids and with the local tour guys. Meeting a local person out there and having those conversations allowed us to learn a lot from it. And I know, Nico, there's a few things that you took away from that conversation that have been kind of key learnings for you.
Definitely. So, by the way, the policeman, very well spoken, probably better English than I did. And we discussed about the cultures and he answered all our questions. There's two things I want to say, right? First of all, I landed in and as I suppose what I like to think is as the morals and the fabric of the Irish society is being polite. And, you know, when you're offered something, you say no. The politeness. You say no the first time, you say no the second time. When someone offers you a cup of tea the third time, you say, Asher, go on. You're twisting my arm. When the police officer offered us food, I said, thank you so much. I just don't want to cause you any hassle. We're okay. We got food ourselves. But nice enough the police officer to explain to us, he said that in his culture, if you don't accept an offering of food and straight off like that, that it's not good enough for you and that you are above it and that... basically you just don't need it, or his offer.
It's a form of insult.
That was a big culture clash. And also I asked about women in society, and it was great to hear that in Egypt, and in Egypt the fabric of society is all woven around itself, and at the centre of it is our women. Women are the key element to the society and keeping it all together, and in particular mothers. So the mother in the family is the key person in the family. And if they're the key person in the family, they're a key person in the local community as well. And so he was saying, explaining to us that if a mother came up to a police checkpoint and was just like, look, I have kids on board, I just need to go through, he would wave the bus through. He just wouldn't ask questions. If a mother wanted to skip a line to get food, she could skip a line to get food. There's no questions asked. They are the highest of it. So just to wrap it up, there's some insights into our trip so far. It's been great. Nothing's broken on the bikes. We're still alive, still ticking. Haven't used any Vaseline. There's been no chafing yet. Thanks be to God. And yeah, we're having a serious crack. Egypt is wonderful. And I'd suggest that everyone have a look. And everyone down here is great crack. Thanks very much. And we'll get on to you next week. From Lorcan and Nico. Thanks, Johnny.
See ya.
Clontarf locals Nick O'Brien and Lorcan Byrne. Episode 2, reporting from Egypt about their 12,000 kilometre fundraising cycle through Africa. Oh, by the way, you can follow them on their Facebook page. It's entitled When We Go South, and also on Instagram. And episode 3, that's next week on Northside Today.